Lord spoke into my spirit that the devil never stops working. Well, let me tell you, God never stops working. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. You're not going to find him taking a cat nap sometime when you need him. You're not going to have to go looking for him sometime and get him awake. Amen. Elijah made fun of those gods of the prophets of Baal, said, peradventure he's gone on a vacation, or peradventure he's asleep. But you don't have to worry about your God. The God of Israel does not slumber, nor does he sleep. Hallelujah. He's always awake. He's always working. He's always active. He's always moving. He's always protecting. He's always building a fence. He's always heading things off. He's always setting things up. He's always doing it. Praise God. Right now, he's setting somebody up to receive the Holy Ghost. Come on. Somebody here and somebody that's not here. Hallelujah. I know somebody probably that's sitting in a different church this morning, and I prayed for them right up here because they've been praying for 2 years to grow, for 2 years, and they're dying. And I prayed for them, God, let a hunger settle on them this morning where they're sitting that says, I got to have more than this. Amen. Well, you think he's asleep and he's not listening? No, I know he's listening. I know he's listening. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I guess we could just continue in what we're doing and be all right. Hallelujah. We could build a tabernacle here. Praise God. Praise God. As you make your way back to your seats, let's not lose the spirit of anticipation, excitement, hallelujah, that's in the air and atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. As an introduction to this morning's message, I read from the Holy Scriptures out of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You have to get what he just said. He talked about none of these things shall separate us. And then he said, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep as slaughter. And then he says, but even that will not separate us. We're more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before you're seated, let me read it to you in another translation. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Is anybody convinced this morning? I feel like that there's some here that are. I hope everybody is convinced. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Anybody believe that today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five and say, Jesus loves you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. To borrow a phrase that I've heard Wayne Huntley say, not anything that he preached, just a real phrase. I would rise to preach to you, love will find a way. Very simple title, love will find a way. Anybody believe that? Love will find a way. Amen. That's what that scripture just said. Love will find a way. Love, the love of God, Brother Vince, will find a way for you not to be separated from Him no matter what happens. No matter what comes in your life, the love of God has already found a way and made a way for you and I never to be separated from Him. Praise God. Abraham found a way to remain faithful when the promise was delayed. Love found a way. Jacob found a way after years of lies and cheating to get his way. I'm not talking about you, Jacob. Love found a way. Joseph found a way to remain glued to the living, righteous God in the face of deceit, defeat, and distrust. Love found a way. Amen. Love will always find a way. The Judd sisters several years ago recorded a song that said, love can build a bridge. My family and I, I was standing there, so that's the I part, my family and I, sang that song one time in this city in front of 500 Chinese people at their fall festival. Love will build a bridge. And behind us, we had a PowerPoint displaying a year and a half worth of outreach and working with and just communicating with and having them in our home. And about 20 different students were on that PowerPoint, and we told them as we sing for them to come up, and they did, and then some that we just barely knew came up. And we had that big old platform the alumni hall, I think is where it was. It'll seat about 800. We had that huge platform full of Chinese students standing there holding hands with us as we sing, love can build a bridge. Amen. You can build bridges if you want to. Bridges are needed to connect land masses that are separated by obstacles such as rivers, bay inlets, canyons, deep gorges, and other such obstacles. There's a PowerPoint on there, Brother Vince. Somewhere. Got a bridge, a picture of a bridge on it. See it? Is it up? It's going. That's Vince's term to it. It's going. Me and him speak good sign language stuff together here. Bridges are fabulous structures. I've often marveled at the engineering that goes behind these things and into these things. I'm marveling right now. I'm marveling in my imagination. I'm sorry. I have crossed them at times and wondered. I hope some really good engineering went into this bridge. I have crossed the Bay Bridge down at by Annapolis, Maryland, that goes across to the Outer Banks, and get up there and think, boy, I hope this thing's built really well. I was going into Iowa one time from Illinois. I was in a truck, semi-truck, loaded, and they were building a new bridge beside the one that I was on, which makes you think, you know, this one's getting old. There was they had a construction traffic light at the other end of the bridge, and I'm stuck. I'm up on this bridge on this truck, and it has one of these steel decks. And I can look out the window and see the mighty Mississippi River down below me. And these trucks are coming this way across it. They're going. And every time one of them hits that bridge, my truck moves. And I'm thinking, Jesus, I hope you get me off this bridge quick. I don't know if this thing's going to stand until they can get that new one built. It'd make you nervous. But bridges they're fabulous structures. Show them another bridge. Vince, there's three or four of them up there, or should be. If not, we'll just go with the one. Run through all of them as soon as you can. I'll just keep talking. And whether they be fabulous or simple bridges. Anybody ever build a bridge when you were a kid? Just put some boards down over a ditch or something and you build you a little bridge. How'd you like to cross that bridge? How'd you like to go on that? That bridge got a curve in it, man. Isn't that wonderful? And that bridge. I don't know where these are all at. I was going to look all that up, but I thought, you know what? Now I like those others better than that one. Especially if I'm in a semi-loaded with 80,000 pounds. I don't think I'd take it across that bridge. And what really is odd about that bridge, put that one back up, Ben, is if you look off to the right, there's another bridge. I'll take the other one. I think the other one is better. But bridges, whether they be simple, whether they be fabulous, they're very necessary in our world. Bridges have saved much time, and time is life, as they say. I have on my desk, thanks to my wonderful daughter-in-law, a book entitled Bridges Out of Poverty. The book describes the lens that is needed to look through in order to build a bridge that enables people to pass over that deep crater of poverty. The author lays out the resources needed to construct this linking structure. The resources are not concrete and steel beams, but they are necessary. They are as necessary and real as the steel and concrete in a physical bridge. Things like finances, emotional resources, mental abilities with acquired skills, a divine purpose for life, and there's several others that he lists. As I am reading the book, I can sense that the author has traversed this great divide himself and has decided to love the people on the other side of the poverty equation. He has decided that he's going to love them, and he's going to love them enough that he's going to study how to build a bridge to get them, not him to them, to stay there. He's going to get to them, all right, but his goal is to get to them and help them come back across that bridge out of that impoverished mindset so they'll be set free and they can have a better life. Thus, the book, and not only the book, but a way has been made, a bridge built. The expanse has been spanned in a tangible way. Simply speaking, people are being brought out of poverty, lives are being changed. Love has found a way. Love will always find a way. And then there is this canyon, this divide, this gorge that is like no other. There's another poverty that is greater, a greater gorge than the financial one we so often talk about. It is the poverty of the spiritual life, the emotional side, the heart. The deepest canyon, the longest span ever, is the one between a holy God and sinful man. Could there be a bridge built over such a chasm of space? Could it be possible for anyone or anything to span the great distance and the great divide? We know that today, love found a way. Amen. Love found a way because there is a salvation bridge today. Love found the way. Praise God. Love made the way. We read the scripture or talked about the scripture already in Sunday school. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then in 1 John, the beloved disciple links the bridge building of the Savior. And this is so vitally important for us to get. He links the bridge building of the Savior to the saved. When he says, what scripture do I have? 4:11? Do I have 4:11? Put 4:11 up there. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What he just did was link the bridge building of the Savior to the activity, to the energy, to the vision of the saved. And that has to become the saved's vision. It has to become our vision. It has to become our heartbeat that we are willing to build any kind of bridge, whatever kind of bridge it takes. We're willing to build it. We're willing to go there. We're willing to traverse whatever it is. We've got to cross that bridge. We've got to go across it. He's saying that we, through love, will find a way. Through the love of God, Brother Patterson, I'll find a way. You'll find a way to reach students on this campus. You'll find a way to keep those that come here saved, and then those that come here lost. You'll find a way through the love of God to get them saved. Amen. Come on. Love has got to find a way. Love will never be satisfied until love finds a way. Love will never rest until love finds a way. Love motivates. Love drives. Love disciplines. And love decides. I will find a way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the material of this bridge is love. In this passage of Scripture, it describes the character, the unrelenting nature, and the all-encompassing spirit of that love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Let me put it in my words. I can be eloquent in speech and just be a bunch of noise. He said in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I can be educated and be nothing. And I can be spiritual and be nothing without love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I could build a bridge out of poverty for people to cross. But if I don't have the love of God, I am not profited by it. Amen. Now the Scripture will define and describe the nature of that true bridge building and way making love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. That word suffers long means patient with those less fortunate. Those that have not found what you have found. That word kind means to show oneself useful. It's benevolence in action. It's not benevolence in speech. Oh, I love you. As one man said, as I was working feverishly on a back of a truck one day, and he was sitting over taking an extended break that was not authorized, and I'm working like a dog, just sweat pouring off of me, and I got three guys that are standing there watching me that work for me, and they won't help me. I've just started, so I just got to get it done. And I'm working, and he looks at me and says, I feel for you, Mick. I just can't reach you. That's not benevolence in action. That's benevolence in mouthy word. Amen. I feel for you. I just can't reach you. But love does not say that. Love says, I feel for you, Chelsea, and I will reach you. I will get to you, Jan. I will talk you into a Bible study whether you want it or not. I will, because I know that a Bible study will save you. I know that a Bible study will be the best thing ever happened to you. Come on, you got to have some faith in what's worked, and it works all over the world. You set somebody down in a home and go through the book with them, and it'll save them. It'll cast devils out of them. It'll get them out of tradition. You just got to love enough to believe it. Love finds a way. Love finds a way. Of course, it does not envy. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. I didn't break all these down. I could, but I knew it'd be too long. Thinks no evil. Ooh. I did break that one down for a moment. It means it thinks no evil about other people. Janet doesn't look at, it's not me looking at you going, wonder what he thinks of me. I bet he's thinking this of me. I wonder who he is when he's not around. He's evil. No, he doesn't think evil. Not love. Love looks beyond even the obvious and sees a potential that is so hidden that nothing else sees it. But the love of God sees it. Amen. With the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul. Everyone else saw a persecutor of the church, some religious zealot who was just an idiot. They did. That's what they saw. Jesus looked down through those eyes of love and saw the greatest preacher that ever lived. And if Jesus would have come down into the board meeting room of the apostles and elders in Jerusalem and said, that guy Saul, he's mine. He's going to preach and he's going to start more churches than all of you put together. He's going to have more influence in this world than anybody on this planet ever. And they would have said, yeah, Lord, I know you know all things, but you might have made a mistake here. Because love looks at Paul through different eyes totally. Love looks at a man that's opposing him. He's opposing his God, and the love of God looked at him and said, he's opposing me because he loves me and doesn't I know who I am. He doesn't even know who I am, and so he's opposing me. But if I can show him who I am, he will give himself to me. He will pour that passion into reaching people for me. And Paul would later write, I become all things for all men, that by all means I might save some. That's love. That's love. Love will find a way. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And then you have these four things. I'm getting ready to be finished here in just a few minutes. It bears all things. Love bears all things. It means to put a roof over or cover. That's what that word means. And you know what it means, Brother Jamie? By example, it means to cover with silence. It's not covering with, you know, Ian, oh boy. I got him covered, but man. No. It covers with silence. It covers with silence. It just covers. Beareth all things. My wife, sometimes I get irritated, and I shouldn't. My wife is the classic person to cover with silence and to cover people. And she is the classic person to defend the underdog. And I don't care who the underdog is. Really. And I'll tell her that. She used to do it with her other kids. Her other four kids said that she always did it with this one. Oh, yeah, Jeremy, he's your favorite. And she would, but he was the youngest, and so she would shield him a little. She would cover him a little. And she'll do it with anybody. I've had her do it. If I ever get the pastoral grumbles on me about somebody, ever, if that ever would happen, ever. Brother Wilson just gonna look down. Because he's been pastor before. If I ever do it, she's going to cover them. Makes me, in my natural self, quite frankly, it angers me. Don't take up for them the wrong. That's all right. I'm going to cover them anyway. All right, you cover them, but they're wrong. You got them covered. That's in my low parts, you know, my lowest times. I'm not like that all the time, I promise. Love believeth all things. It means to have faith in. It means to have faith in, upon, and with respect to a person. Love hopeth all things. It means to expect or confide. And from the context, you can easily see it does not mean to expect bad behavior, wrong. Jacob, if you mess up 1,000 times, you may convince your mother that there's no expectation with your mother anymore that 1,001st time. No, I'm just kidding. But there is, because there's great expectation in that couple's heart back there that you're going to be great someday. You're going to be great. I don't care how many times you mess up. Because there's great expectation, there's that hope. Amen. And that hope expects the good behavior. Brother Patterson, you can look at students and just go, dear God, there's no. And one moment, and then look back and say, but God. Only Sergio. It endureth all things. Endureth all things means to stay under or behind. In other words, love always, 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 always has your back. Love always has your back. Love always has your back. Means to bear trials or persevere. Love, he goes on to say, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Now watch. Didn't say there weren't prophecies. Didn't say you needed to discard all prophecies. It tells us why they fail. Okay? They will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge. Doesn't say that there's not going to be knowledge. There's going to be knowledge, but it'll vanish away someday. And this is why. For we know in part, only in part. John said in another place, we see through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. Now, I will tell you that if God wants to show you things and you become used in prophecy, you have to be really careful about what he shows you and what you then see yourself. Okay, what you show yourself. Because he's shown you this, Sister Debbie, you say, oh, he showed me a great fire and it was falling in a certain place. And you run out like Chicken Little and say, everybody's going to die because a fire is coming. And what he really meant was the fire of the Holy Ghost coming, everybody going to live. You just saw fire. And you have to wait on him to show you, okay? But that's another subject. We'll go into that sometime. I'll teach you. But we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. He's trying to tell us love is perfect. He goes on in that final scripture. I don't even have it down, I don't think. You don't have verse 11, do you? But I think it's verse 11. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass. Actually, Paul said that right here. Through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Next verse. And now abide a faith, hope and charity, and that word charity, that's Old English. Any other translation, New English, that would be love. That's what it means. But the greatest of these is love. Love's greater than faith. Love's greater than hope. Love, because love endures everything. Amen. Love hopes against hope. Love. So men that are not used in the gifts of prophecy, listen to me carefully, because we have a tendency to elevate people. Men that are not used in the gifts of prophecy, or in the gift of tongues, or in the gift of faith, or in the working of miracles, that have limited knowledge, men that are used in the gifts of prophecy, the gift of tongues, working of miracles, they have great knowledge, they might fail. Where men that are full of love will not fail and will build a bridge. Donna Nuusa. I should ask you how to pronounce this. Found a way. Let's stand. Donna and her family, living in Brazil, visited a small town one day in the interior of Brazil. There they met Carmelita, a 7-year-old orphan living with poverty-stricken relatives. Her mother had been a prostitute. She never knew her father. Donna was touched. She knew that the child was doomed to a life with no love or attention unless someone intervened. Because of her compassion, Donna's family returned home that day with an additional family member. On the day of Donna's funeral, she had tragically been hit by a car long before she should have passed from life. And it was fatal. At the funeral home, Carmelita was standing there. And she was tall. She was darker skinned than the other Brazilians. She was a beautiful young lady. She was quiet. She stood very dignified. She did not cry and weep like everyone else. The minister watched as people began to leave, and he watched Carmelita. He watched her bend over the casket. He wondered if during the funeral service, if she was reliving that childhood memory of climbing into a car and driving away with a strange family. One moment, she had been without love, without a home, or a future. And the next moment, she had all three. From the memory of the minister as he watched, he said there was an earnestness in her eyes as she stood there. It was as if she had one final task to perform. She didn't wail, nor did she scream with grief. She simply leaned over the casket, caressed it tenderly as if it were the face of the only mother that she had ever known. And with silent teardrops splashing on the polished wood, she said repeatedly, "Obrigada, obrigada, thank you. Thank you." A final farewell of gratitude. You see, Donna Nuusa had allowed love to find a way through her. Deep inside of Donna, there was a desire to, an ability to, and a determination to love. The love was searching for an object to display that love on. That's where you were. That's where I was. Because God's love is always searching for an object. Not just an object, a person to love. And can I tell you, He found a way. He found a way. Amen. He found a way. I wonder this morning if we can understand that the God who is love has a desire, an ability, and a determination to love us. It's why we are saved. And I want us to let something fill us this morning, settle into our minds. For God to bathe us and rekindle in us the desire, the ability, and the determination to love Him and to love someone for Him. Love them enough to die for them. Love them enough to give up your home for them. Love them enough to invite them into your home. Well, it's my home. And you have it because He gave it to you. If you don't get that in your head and mind, if Jesus stops talking, we have nothing. Amen. Now He's calling us to do the same for someone else. Love will find a way. If you have not found the bridge out of life, out of the life of sin, or if you have somehow crossed back over that bridge, I would that you just close your eyes and begin to pray right now. Everyone here, you need the way pointed back. You need to get back across that bridge. You need to see that bridge that was built out of two pieces of wood nailed together that formed a cross. And you need to come back. If you haven't spoken in tongues in a while, and I don't mean some flippant little thing that you got a little blessing. I mean you've prayed through. I mean that God in His joy has just bubbled up in your soul. I mean that He's been more alive to you than the book you're reading, than the person standing next to you, than what's the experience of what's happening in your life right now, the transformation, the different kind of things that are going on. If He's not that real to you, then you need to pray back through to His presence. And love has found a way to talk to your heart this morning. By faith, I speak that in the name of Jesus. Love has found a way to speak into your heart right now. I want you to love somebody through. I want to love somebody through you. I want to touch somebody. Come on, can you feel that? You need to lift your hands. You need to come to this altar and begin to pray. There are resources here this morning. Praise God. If you're in the church, will you allow His love to fill your minds with the way to see the lost saved? Love will find a way. Love will find a way. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're a youth leader, love will find a way to reach a young person outside of this building. Love will find a way to reach a family that's lost. Come on, we got to see poverty like it really is. I don't care how much money they have in the bank. I don't care how many degrees they have at the end of their name. If they do not know Jesus, they are impoverished. Amen. You don't get out of poverty by becoming educated by our world. You get out of poverty by coming to an altar and beginning to weep before the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Come on, will you commit right now? Commit your soul, commit your life to allowing the one that found a way to you. Will you allow Him to find a way through you? In Jesus' name, through you. Praise God. Lord, you're going to be able to love somebody through me. I commit myself to it right now. Come on. Lord, you're going to be able to love somebody through me. I commit to it right now. I'll suffer for you. I'll do whatever for you. I'll inconvenience myself. But I'm going to love and I'm going to be loved. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, can you just pray, just receive from God right now. Hallelujah.